You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
Let's do it later.
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th, hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
And they're playing badly. They are not very good, and they're not playing very well on top. And it's really hard for me to watch. But yeah. Anyway, so for the show and forevermore, I will be struggling, I think, for the rest of the season. And as Razzle Dazzler sort of, he said, "Are you okay?" And he just checked in on me. And I was like, "Yeah, I'm fine. I now know how you feel with the Rebels."
Oh, yeah.
And it is a little bit like what other people have felt, but I've just not felt it before. Not for a long time.
Well, no. I mean, the Crusaders fans in general ever, you know, haven't really felt like this.
No, I kind of think that I can remember when they had a tough start to the season. But not like this. Not like you always knew that they would come back because they had quality players. Whereas at the moment,
there's not much there. There's not
enough there to warrant. I mean, God, if we can't make the playoffs, that's saying something, isn't it? If you're not in the top eight teams in the competition.
Well, Damien, you're last. Let alone the top eight.
That's what I mean, though.
We've
gone from being one of the, we've gone from winning it 7 years in a row or 6 years in a row to last place, and it is very, very tough. So, and that goes into our first segment, which is the WhatsApp. What's happened on the WhatsApp?
You've been grilled like a steak. Hey, good loin steak,
mate.
Your loins are good. But this loin steak is better, and you've been grilled.
I have been absolutely grilled to an inch of my life, and people have thoroughly, thoroughly enjoyed it.
Oh, for sure.
And I would say, I think it was Larry. Larry also. I think Larry was the one, and please, WhatsApp group, remind me if I'm wrong. He was the one that was saying, "What about the Hurricanes?"
No, that was... I think that was no, it wasn't Larry.
It wasn't Larry, but whoever's been on the WhatsApp group saying, you know, the Hurricanes.
Yeah.
What a great shout, because I have to say.
Benjamin.
Oh, Ben.
Benji. Big Benji.
So, well, what I would say is great shout, because I didn't see it coming. Now that I watch them, I get it.
Yeah.
But I didn't see it coming. You know, I didn't think for a second they'd be in the top three of the comp this year.
Oh, no, nor me. Because who did we say at the start we're going to be
Chiefs.
Like Chiefs? Did we go Blues?
Blues, yeah. Yeah, and then maybe...
Then it was Crusaders.
Crusaders maybe at third, I mean, you know, it's been a pleasant surprise.
It's always good when the Canes do well.
Yeah, I think so. I like them more than the Blues. You know,
Yeah,
I like them doing better. than the Blues. So that's what hurt so much on the weekend.
Yeah.
But we'll go into that. We'll go into it with more. So yeah, absolute rinsed by the group, and it was pretty much Crusaders loss, 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 loss. And to be honest, I think it'll be 6-0. I think it'll go 6-0. The only bit of hope I have is they're resting DMACC.
Yes, they are.
For the weekend. But, you know,
why are
I don't think it's
going
to make much difference. I think that's how bad we are.
They're just resting good players.
They can rest their best player. Give them a game off, lads. It's one of the weakest teams in the competition now. Well, it is the weakest team in the competition.
It is the weakest team in the competition, Damien.
Oh, yes. Yeah. No, it's going to be tough. It's going to be tough. I do feel after the bye, we will come back. But anyway, we'll move on.
Yeah.
It is time for the Super Brew.
It is time for the Super Brew. Okay.
So, sir, it was a tough old weekend because I don't think many people picked the Force to beat the Reds.
Did you know that one person did? One person did. Yep. Way Out West got the Grand Slam.
Wow, good on you, Way Out West. Now, I'll just put the music on, mate.
Yes.
If it will go on. There we go, mate. Way you go.
What a sensual sound. Okay, so we're going top four. Again, going to butcher this name. I might just go...
Don't start at the top, mate. Don't start at fourth position and go up.
Blitzbot.
Yep.
He's in fourth. Cheers for Bears. John Boy 237. Oh, do you know what? I heard that. And it sounded like you were opening a beer.
just a Diet Coke. A Coke Zero, mate.
Tudanu 15. So that's
he's
your top four. Yeah. Now, Damo, you are my friend.
I'm performing like the Crusaders.
You fell 6 this week.
Yeah.
23.50. And the Tobinator, he went up 3 places to 28 points.
Whoa. Oh, I've had enough, Super Brew.
I am whooping you.
I think, you know, like the way that I used to be, which is...
I'm 5 points ahead of you, just to let you
bet
know.
Bet for the Crusaders no matter what. Do you know what I mean? Like, always worked for me in the past because, you know, they generally won.
Do you know what? This week might be their week. They're at home.
Dearie.
They need to win.
They can't, mate. They don't have the team.
They need to win.
They do not have the team. Their forward pack is like 22 years old.
There's some really hard games this week to pick, you know.
I will make them even harder. I'll make them harder than they need to be.
Fiji winning on the weekend. They're now against the Force.
Yeah. Is that,
you know,
is that at home for them?
Aren't any pushover. They're playing the Blues.
No, they're not. No.
You know, Crusaders could win. We've got Highlanders versus the Hurricanes. Reds versus the Brumbies.
I think that the Highlanders are an outside bet against the Hurricanes as well, the way that they play.
Yeah, I agree.
So yeah. Right, mate. Let's get on to our breaking news.
Yes, proudly supported by our Patreon members. Now,
yeah, if you'd like to support us, then please click the link below. It really does help to keep the lights on the show.
It does. And you will be a part of the WhatsApp group that we always talk about, our little segment at the start.
Absolutely. Yeah.
So just going on what you were saying, Damo, about the Crusaders, you know, their only chance this week is that DMACC's not playing. Now, you know how they haven't been that successful this year, as you probably have found out. but they're naming their fourth captain of the season.
Mitch Drummond.
Yep.
Yeah.
You know.
Good captain. Good captain. Good person to do that job, though.
Yeah, good captain to lead the team. But then, you know, Scott Barrett David Havili and Tom Christie are the other ones. Why is he chopping and changing so much?
Well, they've all injured. So David, Barrett injured.
Yeah.
Havili injured.
Okay.
I'm a little bit unsure about Christie. So yeah. I think Christie was only the captain because someone went off or something like that. Do you know what I mean? Or okay. David Havili wasn't there.
Yeah.
But you would have thought he would then take over.
He is starting.
Unless he's carrying Tom an injury Christie. As well.
Tom Christie starting. They don't have a very good team, do they, the Crusaders?
No, not at all. Not
I'm just looking at the lineup and I only know a handful.
I know. It's a forward pack. You know, they've relied on their forward pack for years and years and it's underperforming. So, you know, it is a shot because D-Mac, when he's not been on the pitch, they have not played nearly as well as when he's on the pitch. So the fact that he is taking a week off is quite significant. Now, Josh Ioane is no slouch, and I do like him, and I would love to have him in the Crusaders.
Yeah.
As our starting 10, and I think he would have been a great fit for us. But we don't have him, and they've got him, and it'll be interesting to see how he copes with the starting role.
Yeah, well, you know, we'll see. Hopefully he takes it with two hands, but he is playing second fiddle to potentially the next All Black 10.
Is there anyone else that's knocking on the door for All Black 10? Or do you feel it's signed, sealed and delivered, D-Mac?
I would say it's signed, sealed and delivered. Who else is there? Ruben Love. Stephen.
No, he's at 15. You say Stevie P. There are one or two more because you do have Bowden Barrett who is playing overseas but is due to come back for the All Blacks.
I think he'll still play 15.
You think he'll still play 15?
Yeah.
Yeah, I think you're right.
Especially because Will Jordan's now out for the season, isn't he?
Well, he's out for the super season.
Right.
Is he out for the internationals as well? I'm not 100% sure.
Well, internationals, what, end of, when do they come over? They're July, aren't they?
July.
Yeah.
So he might be right for those, but even so, I think you're right. I think they'll go D-Mac. They go Stevie P off as cover.
Yeah.
And then other than that, we are lacking in that area. I do know that he's gone over and spoken to Rich Mwanga. That's the reason why Whitelock has, you know, because he went across and spoke to Whitelock and said, look, I'd really like you to come back and play for the All Blacks.
Okay.
So that's where that's come from. So he has gone and spoken to Richie Mwanga and seen if it's a possibility. So
I wonder
maybe
what
that
Richie's,
will be.
I wonder how that conversation went.
Well, yeah, I mean, he has been his coach, you know, ever since Richie started.
Yeah,
so
but also
you would have thought,
Sam.
Yeah, yeah. Well, as I mean, I've done a little bit of digging, mate. And last week I mentioned, where would you rather play, France or Japan?
Yeah.
And Sam Whitelock went and played in France, isn't he? 36 games in a season. Okay. It's a hell of a lot of games. So he does have the option to go for a second year there.
Okay.
Or he could come back or he could go to Japan. So I think he probably played 36 games at the age of 36 and thought, that's a few too many for me. I might fancy going to Japan or back to New Zealand.
Yeah, well, he's done a year. I wonder how much he was on.
Oh, it'd be a few quid, wouldn't it? That's for sure.
Yeah, be a few.
I mean, he's a hell of a player, isn't he?
And we thought he was down
last
and out.
Year. We did, yeah. And then last, how good
boy,
was he
were
last
we
year?
Wrong. Thankfully,
it's not the first
we were
time.
Very wrong. Yeah, that's true. Yeah.
Hey, mate, I'm going to go for my story.
Yes,
first story is Sam Warburton. And I really like this. I listened to a podcast on this. Sam Warburton explains why the pro game must be prioritized over grassroots. So we're always hearing, aren't we, about you've got to look after grassroots, you've got to look after grassroots. And Sam Warburton's come out and said, look, yeah, you've got to look after grassroots, but you've got to make sure that your professional game is really strong.
Well, I mean, if your professional game's strong, then you draw more people into playing that sport, don't you? Is that what he's alluding to?
That's his exact point.
Yeah.
Exactly. He said, he gave the, you know, example of when England won the World Cup in 2003.
Yeah.
It was their biggest influx of players that they've had in history. So if your national team is doing well, then the grassroots, it's the future of the game, isn't it? You know?
Yeah, definitely.
Young kids wanting to play because their heroes are out playing on TV.
Okay, well, you know, you've said that, you've made a great point, he's made a great point, and it, you know, when the England Lions won the Euros or something here, didn't they, or they might have lost in the final or something like that, in this country, soccer football, you know, women's soccer football just exploded, didn't it?
And people are going to watch them. You know, they're selling out stadiums.
Yeah. And like even the female Premier League, I'm not sure what it's called, but the soccer football female league is booming.
Yeah. He makes a great point. I agree with him. I think what he's also alluding to is you've got to think about, it's not just about your top teams. It's kind of like your top teams at school upwards.
Yeah.
So your first 15s, your 19s, your 20s, your 21s, your 22s, you've got to have your academy structure in place as well. And this is what he alludes to. He says that the Welsh academies are not well looked after anymore.
Well, so, no, but then look at the national team.
And that's the point. He's saying this is what's happening with the national side is because of the academies not being well looked after.
Yeah.
And he goes on to say, you know, when he was 14, 15, he was in the academies, he was well looked after. He, you know, had nutrition advice. He had, you know, gym advice. He was playing of a good level. And everyone in Wales wanted to play for Wales. Whereas now, there is two young guys who are in the England squad who are Welsh qualified.
Yeah, wow.
Who grew up in Wales and who went to school in England.
Right.
And have picked up from there. And what he was saying is because there's not that pathway through like there used to be, that they're losing players.
They're jumping
falling through the cracks.
Yeah.
You know, sort of saying, well, I'll go over there, I'll get good schooling. And better opportunities to play at a high level.
Yeah.
So it was quite refreshing to hear because often you hear this vanilla, don't you?
Yeah.
You know, Magnolia comments coming out. He was like, no, look after your pro game, look after your academies, pump money into schools, yes, but if you do that at the cost of the professionals, then you've got a real problem because no one wants to play when your national side's rubbish.
Agreed. He actually talks a bit of sense, doesn't he?
He does talk a bit of sense. I like him. I like him. Yeah. Mate, what's your second story?
Yeah, my second one. You know how it might have been a month or so ago now, we were speaking about Zach Mercer?
Yes.
Weren't we? And a guy called George has said that there is still a good possibility that he will make the internationals against Japan and New Zealand in the summer. So Zach Mercer was player of the match in his last game against Leicester. And he's sort of saying, look, he's got some skills that cannot be coached. Now, I sort of went down.
He does.
Is it speed? Like, what is it? But the skill that can't be coached... the way he carries the ball, you certainly cannot train it.
Okay.
You know, What? His footwork and his ability to slide through a line. I don't think many people can do that, and you certainly can't mimic it. It's very, very unique.
I think his problem is he's now fighting for the one spot in England that's sewn up, isn't it? You know, eight now is done and dusted. They know who their eight is. Ben Earl has been playing out of his skin.
He has been playing well.
So that's their eight. Will someone like Zach Mercer, you know, bring something different on? And I think that's his point of difference. Someone like a Mercer, as you say, you know, does offer something different.
Yeah.
You know.
He's quick. He's very, very quick. Put him on the wing.
Well, they have said, you know, Ben Earl playing the centres.
Yeah.
You know, I have heard that one before. I don't think it's a good idea.
No.
But, well, actually, it's not that it's not a good idea. I just don't think it'll happen.
No.
But, you know, I remember watching Ben Earl when he played for Bristol Bears. He was in Saracens. Saracens went down the league. So he went and played for Bristol Bears for a year. I remember watching him thinking, you know, he is the best player in that team and on the pitch. And Eddie Jones would never pick him because he's not the biggest of eights. He's a hell of a player. I'd have him in, have him in the All Blacks without question.
Yeah, well, yeah.
Mate, who would you – I mean, you'd have Artie Sevier over him, wouldn't you?
Oh, 100%. Artie Sevier is one of the best forwards in the world.
He's kind of similar though, isn't he? I think – You know, they're a similar type of player.
Yeah.
That's a big compliment to Ben Earl.
But I wouldn't pick Ben Earl.
Right, mate. No. Right, my second story is interesting to me. It was just interesting. So I read this. And it was about Irish rugby in another lifetime, pizzas, beer, and late to bed. Okay. So what we're talking about is an ex-player who then became Ireland's first sort of fitness coach, Craig White.
Yeah.
Sort of remembered the days where he was going through and he was trying to get players fit to play. And, you know, it was still a massive drinking culture. And he's talking about, you know, 2000s, started a professional game. They've always apparently had a breeding ground of school rugby, very similar to New Zealand in the way that they captured their best players. Top schools, top coaches. But that what happened was they left school, went into club rugby and drunk loads, ate
a copious
loads
amount.
And got out of shape.
Yeah.
You know, rather than leaving school and, you know, going to a professional game, they literally left a professional system and went to a amateur system,
yeah,
which meant that they struggled. And you can see that now, you know, obviously.
But is that also just self-discipline?
They are a professional unit. Yeah. But I thought it was quite interesting. You know, we're talking, going back to like, you know, that like 2009 was kind of the start of when they've gone properly professional. So it's not, you know, we're like acting like professionals rather than having this drinking culture.
Well, some of the All Blacks still, well, not still, but used to smoke while they were playing. So there must have been a culture of, like you say, it was professional, but it wasn't professional.
Yeah. Yeah. I think, like, if I think about the All Blacks, probably, you know, I would say that the vast majority of people were acting professional before it was actually truly professional, whereas, you know, most of the other countries, it was an amateur game even after it turned. You know,
yeah.
I think New Zealand were the quickest to make it a professional setup, and that's why they got the jump on everyone else. But, yeah, I remember a guy called Lee Stensness, you know, who he was a big drinker, a big smoker. You know, you wonder how they managed it, really. But there's no way you could do it now, could you?
No.
You couldn't play and be a big smoker or a really big drinker now.
I think the fitness levels have just gone through the roof, where if you are a smoker, your capacity to become fit or to stay fit just is non-existent.
No. Yeah. Right, mate. It's time for what caught your eye.
Yeah.
So it was a busy old weekend. We can try and stay off the Crusaders.
Okay, let's stay off the Crusaders. We've covered
the Crusaders.
Yeah.
Stay off the Crusaders.
Okay, well, what caught my eye was the Crusaders lost. No, caught my eye. There were a few. Now, we had Fiji winning, which was a great result for them. Extra time.
Yeah, drawing. Yeah, extra time win, yeah.
Extra time win with a drop goal. Good on them. I think the Western Force beating the Reds.
Great game. They thoroughly deserved it. Got out to a great start and held on.
Yep. Agreed. I think the Brumbies actually beating Moana Pacifica by a huge margin. I didn't actually see that coming. I thought it would be a lot closer.
I agree. I didn't see that coming. But I think if you watch the first half, it's a very tight game. And it was only late on in that game that Moana Pacifica struggled.
But that's what I mean. I think, again, it's that island fitness, isn't it? They're all gung-ho and, guns blazing for the first hour.
Yeah.
And then they just fall away, don't they?
Do you know what's really interesting is they don't really have a home, Moana Pacifica.
No, they're playing out of Auckland.
They're playing out of Auckland, but just imagine if they did have a home, Fiji have a home, right?
Yeah.
So if they were playing in Samoa or Tonga or somewhere, where their fans could go, it's difficult to, be hot. It'd be sweaty. That'd be a really tough team to go and play.
I agree.
And even if they're playing out of Auckland, Auckland, they don't even support Auckland. So, it's almost like, where do you play out of,
Yeah.
I reckon if they wanted to, they could play out of Palmerston North, because you look at the Chiefs and you say, the Chiefs play at their FMG stadium, but when they went and played at Palmy, the people came and watched. So there's obviously a decent crowd coming out of that area. But, to play out of Auckland just seems like an absolute waste.
Yeah, I agree. I think, they're playing at a decent-sized stadium too, which holds 30,000 maybe. But, they should be playing, a couple of weeks in Samoa or a couple of weeks in Tonga rather than Auckland.
Yeah. I mean, I'm going to throw one out there, mate. What about East Coast? Do you know what I mean? Play out of East Coast.
Yeah, that's true.
Because I tell you what.
Where would you have the stadium?
You don't
Rugby
need.
Park. Bosh.
Yeah, mate. Play out of Rugby Park, though. You see it, don't you? When they go to these smaller state grounds, they get and they get support.
Yeah.
The East Coast boys would go and support them. And they've got a half decent stadium at East Coast, a bit like Rugby Park is in Christchurch. It's got a grandstand and it's got, banking around the outsides, doesn't it?
Yeah. To be fair, they've got it would hold probably a few thousand. If that.
Well, okay. Is it really that small, is it?
Yeah.
What about
the grandstand,
Gisborne,
is like a couple of hundred.
Gisborne's got a decent stadium, doesn't it?
No, that's Rugby Park. Mate, there's nothing decent about Gisborne.
What about the ladies?
No, definitely not.
Yeah, they need a home, don't they? They need a home.
I think that's half of their problem.
Okay. My first one here is the Rebels, Dangunu, all right?
Yep.
Dangunu was a big signing over the summer, and he's not playing at the moment because they're not paying his relocation costs. So we talk about the Rebels struggling on the pitch. They're blatantly struggling off the pitch, yeah, and that's now affecting their on-the-pitch performance. Imagine your best player is not playing because they haven't followed through with his relocation costs. I mean, that's terrible, isn't it?
That is terrible. Surely that's sort of the first thing they do.
Well, yeah, I mean, he's relocated. Yeah. He's already done it.
Yeah. Weird.
Now, I am going to mention the Crusaders, but this is more of a question to you. Okay. So on the weekend, the Crusaders missed 9 lineouts. Okay. In the first half, out of 6 lineouts they threw in, they only won 1. Okay. So that's how bad it is. My question to you is, are the players not good enough or is the coaching not good enough?
It's a very good question, Damien.
Because even if your players aren't that good, you shouldn't lose 9 lineouts in a game.
No. Yeah, that's a tough one. I think if you look at the lineup, and I couldn't even recognize half the people in the team. Now, you know, I know that a lot of Crusader people left. You know, I know that a lot of the players left, but there should be some people waiting in the wings.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, like you say, is the coaching dreadful, you know, that they can't even win 50% of their line out?
Yeah, and that's my biggest question.
Or 20% of their line out.
You can argue that they don't have the cattle. You can say that, okay? My argument is they have known this is coming for a long time. You know, Arrays has been in and around the All Blacks for some time, Richie Mwanga, all of these players. Yes, I don't think you'd know that all of the injuries were going to come, but surely these younger players, you always knew you were going to need to use them.
Yeah, but
so how they've gone in and lost 9 lineouts in a game must be down to coaching.
It must be, because the thing is I'm frustrated. I don't even support them. I don't even like them. But, like, you know, the Crusaders are the biggest and most they're the most successful New Zealand team
of all
How
time.
How do they not have a better team?
I know. I don't think they've recruited particularly well either.
No, because, they haven't. They've barely recruited.
Yeah. They've gone to their academy, haven't they? Which has always been good for them, but I think they needed to get in a few bigger names. I suppose they probably thought by getting Lee Halfpenny in, but you know, Lee Halfpenny. Why on earth did you spend money on getting Lee Halfpenny? It's a ridiculous thing to do.
Agreed.
We talk about squads though. The Hurricanes made 13 changes to their starting lineup and still won comfortably against the Rebels. Now, I know the Rebels aren't great, but they're not that bad.
Well, they're better than the Crusaders.
They are. They are better than Crusaders. And to make 13 changes was bloody impressive.
Yeah.
And actually,
it's gutsy.
TJ Perenara comes in, plays fantastic.
Yeah.
Godfrey at fullback. I mean, my God, he looks $1 million.
Yeah.
Their back line was like Rolls Royces coming out there. Morgan played at 10, was beautiful at servicing the back line. They looked $1 million, and they looked $1 million with 13 changes.
Yeah.
So when we talk about who's got the best squad of players, we probably would have said in the past the Chiefs or
Crusaders.
You know, the Blues have a pretty good squad, but you can't go past the Hurricanes now.
They've got a lot of depth, don't they?
Well, that's what it looks like to me.
Yeah.
So good luck to them all. One last thing I've heard, right? South Africa rejoining Super Rugby.
They're not doing – If I just, what I'm going to do is I'm just going to bring up the United Rugby Championship. Okay.
Yeah.
So the Bulls.
Can I tell you? The Bulls are second. Can I tell you why? Oh yeah. Yeah.
Okay. The Bulls are second. Stormers are fifth.
Yeah.
Lions are eighth.
Yeah.
The Sharks used to be so good.
They did.
They're third from the bottom.
Oof. They used to be really good, didn't they?
Yeah. That's what I mean. Like, I don't know. I mean, I know that a lot of their players now do just play in either the Premiership or elsewhere. But, yeah, why are they thinking about coming back then? Because it would be great, wouldn't it? It would be great.
So, what the big thing here is that this they only stay in Europe if they get into the Six Nations. So I think them coming over is to encourage that doorway of getting into the Six Nations. But from what I understand, there's no appetite for them to join the Six Nations. Okay. Now, what might end up happening is that the English Premiership, the URC, join forces, and actually they just create a British and Irish competition, which then doesn't leave any space for the South Africans or the Italian side.
Yeah, there would be like 30-odd teams.
Well, we say that, don't we? Because at the moment, how many teams are currently in the English Premiership? You know, so you might end up having, you might end up because Wales are struggling at the moment. They might not be able to have a look.
Let's have a look. So we've got the English Premiership.
Yeah.
As it stands, it's just loading, which is great. I'm on 3G. I've got off the Wi-Fi, so my computer can actually do it. Okay, as it stands, there's 10 teams in the English Premiership.
Okay, very good. See, I think you're only going to get, you're going to go Ireland, what, 2-3 teams in Ireland?
And then, okay, let's go, they're in the United Rugby Championship, aren't they? So Leinster will definitely be there.
Yeah, Ulster.
Munster,
yeah.
Ulster.
Yeah, and Connacht.
Who?
Connacht.
Connacht, yeah. So you've got three. So that's 14.
Yep.
14. And then you've also got Cardiff Rugby, Scarlets.
Yep. Yep.
Osprey.
So Cardiff, Scarlets and Osprey. So there's the three sides for Wales.
Yep.
So we're up to 17.
And then you've got Benetton.
No. So Benetton, Italian, they wouldn't make it through.
Okay.
Okay. Not there. So then you've got your Scots, which I think they've got two teams, right? So you're up to 19 teams.
Edinburgh.
Yeah.
And who else? Dragons or Zebras?
The Zebras are overseas as well. I think they're Italian as well.
Dragons are Welsh. Yeah.
I'm sure they've got Glasgow Warriors.
And the Zebras are Italian.
Yeah. So Glasgow Warriors are Scottish.
Yes,
so
the Glasgow Warriors are third at the moment. So there you go. So you're looking at about 20.
And that would be a hell of a competition.
Yeah.
Big TV rights. You wouldn't be competing. Really top stuff. Top stuff. And I just actually think, you know, if the South Africans decided to come back, then it would just happen naturally. I think the Welsh are very keen. And I think it comes down to the cost of travel. And, you know, it's not great for the environment. You know, all these teams traveling to South Africa and having like a 7-day turnaround.
Yeah.
Coming back absolutely knackered. The players don't want it.
No. But it's going to happen in New Zealand though, isn't it?
Do you mean New Zealand traveling?
Yeah.
I think that the difference is that New Zealand dealt with it quite well and they would stay over there for like 3 weeks and they'd play all of their South African games in one go.
Yeah.
There wasn't quite the same travel that's happening on a weekly basis.
And I think because of what state the English or the European, well, British, I should say more, British clubs are under, you know, or the state that they're in money-wise, if they don't have to pay for all this travel, that money can go elsewhere, can't it? You know, because, how many people would go, you know, on a, let's say, Glasgow were playing the Sharks. How many people? So you've got 15 in your starting lineup. Then you've got your subs. So you're looking at, you know, let's say traveling players, about 25, maybe more.
Yeah. And the same staff.
And then you've got staff, you know, let's say there's 10 to 15 staff. So you've got 40 people on a flight. England to South Africa. What are you looking at? Grand?
Way more than that, isn't it? I mean, I suppose if you're buying in bulk, I suppose, I don't know. Who knows? But it's not cheap. It's not a bus, you know, is it?
it's not a coach. So
but you need a coach to get to the airport, though.
You'd need a coach to get to the airport. Yes. So do you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to look up on Skyscanner. Okay. Let's go. Should we go Heathrow? Make it easy.
Yeah. Well, if you think, you know, you've got to get there. So if you're a Scottish team, you've got to get to Glasgow, don't you? You know, if you're a Cardiff team, where do they fly out from? They don't fly out of Cardiff, do they?
They'd go to Heathrow.
London? Heathrow. Yeah.
And we're going to Cape Town. We're going to go to Cape Town.
We're going to Cape Town.
Yeah. Yeah.
And then just remember, it's not just Cape Town. You've got to get from maybe Cape Town to somewhere else as well.
Yep.
You know, you've got to get those internal flights.
So we're going to go, when are we playing?
So you'd leave on a Monday, wouldn't you? So Monday.
Okay, we'll go Monday the 8th and we're going to come back on Sunday?
Sunday, yep.
Yeah, Sunday. Okay, great.
I'm going to apply. Business class, mate.
No, don't be like that. They'd go economy, wouldn't they?
They'd go economy, yeah.
Okay, and I can only book 8 people. So we're going to go 8 people. Okay. We're playing sevens with one sub. Play a coach.
Get your credit card out, mate.
Ridiculous. Okay, so we can't even fly direct.
No, I don't think you can. That's the crazy thing.
Swiss
you can't Air. Fly direct.
You're going to fly Swiss
okay?
Air. Okay.
Yeah.
And we're looking cheapest. Cheapest is £728. But, my friend, do you want to know? Ooh. Jeez Louise. Okay. This is our trip. Okay. We are flying from Heathrow to Nice. Okay. Yeah. Nice to Basel. Basel to Frankfurt. Frankfurt to Cape Town. Bosh. 40 hours.
Oh my goodness. You know, if you're an NFL team, you'd have your own private jet, wouldn't you?
They do. They do.
Yeah, they do. Yeah. And even Arsenal have their own private jet.
Yep. Well, they're sponsored by Emirates though, aren't they? Same with Man City. They're sponsored by Etihad. So it's pretty easy. You know, they get a chartered flight, don't they?
So not easy then. An easy place to get to. No. Mate, we've got a listener's question, okay? I really enjoyed this question. It's basically a question I wanted to ask you anyway. Rob Penny has made a shocking start to his time with the Crusaders. His team looks disjointed and not well prepared. At what point do the Crusaders have to move on and find another head coach? Is it 6-0? Is it 7-0? Or is it more? But at what point, if they continue to lose, do they sack their coach and move on? And that was from Michael.
It's a shame that he's brand new. If he wasn't brand new, I think the union would sort of go, right, okay, let's say it was Razor Robinson.
Yeah.
And he's won 6 on the bounce. Or 7, whatever it is.
Yeah.
On the bounce.
Too many to count, mate.
And then he's had an off season.
Yeah.
I think they would say, look, let's get some new structure, or let's get some good signings for next season and we'll go again.
Yeah.
But because he's brand new, I think they've got to give him the season though, don't they? It's short season.
I agree with you. I think that they'll see him through the season. And I think he'll probably end up falling on a sword at the end of it.
Yes.
If needs be, that's what will happen. But I don't think, Michael, there's anything that could happen in this season where you would see the Crusaders board come in and say, enough's enough.
Yeah.
I do think if they lose against, let's say, the Force at home or something along those lines, then I think that would be a question that might need to be answered, or Moana Pacifica or someone like that. That would be the only time where I think mid-season they might have to do something, but I just don't think that's going to happen. And I don't think it's going to happen because I don't think they've got those home games anyway.
Yeah. Yeah, I think, like you say, they'll give him a season, and then if he doesn't sort of turn it around, what do you think is a turnaround though?
I think he has to, after the bye, I think he's got to win more than he loses after the bye. So I don't think he needs to make the playoffs.
I think he needs to make the playoffs.
It's going to be really tough to make the playoffs.
Yeah.
Because I can't see him winning on the weekend. Okay. So therefore, you know, whatever. Can't see it happening. So that's going to be 6-0. He has to almost win every game after the bye to get through. And, you know, let's look at it. The Reds have been very good this year.
Yeah.
The Waratahs have been no pushover. The Brumbies are coming back into it. You know, you look at the Brumbies and, you know, they had a bit of a shaky start, but they look pretty good. You know, the Force are obviously weak, but then they turned over the Reds. And I think the reason why they turned over the Reds was because of the immaturity to the Reds players.
Well, you that's know, why I think
they're still
Chiefs,
young.
That's why I think the Chiefs might be in a bit of bother, because they're like, well, the Crusaders haven't won one yet. You know, we're sitting pretty at number two. You just can never take the Crusaders lightly.
I think you can this year though, mate. I think you can this
year.
Yeah, but
I think, you know, there's tradition, there's heritage there, isn't there? There's history.
Mm.
And is that the problem? The players don't necessarily know that or, you know, follow that. Are they just okay, young? I've got a Super Rugby contract. Yeah, we're going to be really good. Crusaders. And then bosh.
Bang. Yeah, no, I can't see it. But anyway, I've got a question for you then, a bit on this topic. If you had to pick a winning team from Australia and a winning team from New Zealand, so let's say you've got a team from either Australia or Moana Pacifica or Fiji, who's going to be the best team non-New Zealand and who's going to be the best New Zealand team? Who would your two teams be?
I think looking at the way that the Brumbies are playing, you know, they've got good back line. They've got a lot of wheels there, but they're just consistent. And they've been consistent. Yeah. They've been the most consistent Aussie team for a long time.
They have, yeah.
So I think they'll be there.
I do. Although the Reds tripped up, I think the Reds are a better team than the Brumbies this year. I feel it in my bones. It's going to be the Reds will beat the Brumbies this season. Okay. Yeah. So I'm going to say the Reds are the best Australian team. I just think that they lost on the weekend because they were a bit naive. They think that they thought they're a bit better than they actually are.
Yeah.
You know, they still have to work really hard for every game, not just the big games.
Yeah. Okay.
But who are you going for New Zealand?
Well, this weekend is the Reds versus the Brumbies.
Yes.
So it'll be interesting to see how that goes. Who will you be picking, Damien?
I'll be picking the Reds.
Okay.
Reed's at home, bouncing yep. back from the Force.
Yep. Okay. The best New Zealand team. Oh, that's a tough one, isn't it?
Well, is it though? Is it tough?
Well, it's tough. Hurricanes, Chiefs. I'm going to go the Hurricanes. I just think they've got a little bit more depth.
I'm going to say still think the Chiefs will pip the Hurricanes.
Okay.
Got quite a few young players in that Hurricanes squad.
Yeah.
I really like their loose forwards. Really like Yose. Oh, Matt, he's an All Black in the making, but I just think they're a bit too young.
Yeah.
And whereas the Chiefs have lost a final to win a final. You know, they say that. To win a final, you've got to lose one, and they lost one last year.
Who do you think will make the final, you know, halfway through the season?
Might be those two. Chiefs. I don't think – well, yeah, I think it's going to be a Chiefs-Hurricanes final. That's what I think. I do think, you know,
the Blues are right there too, though, aren't they?
The Blues could, but they need to have their best starting lineup on for them to beat the Chiefs and to beat the Hurricanes. And we saw that on the weekend that they although they beat the Crusaders, it wasn't convincing. You know, I know that they beat them well on the scoreboard, but it was relatively tight until the end, really.
The Blues' defence is by far the best.
Nah, I don't know. I think Crusaders were just absolutely rubbish. So, but you're going to say, you're saying the Hurricanes?
Yeah.
Okay, I'm going to say the Chiefs. Chiefs, mate. Right, we have our Guess Who for me. I've heard on the grapevine.
Yes, I've got Guess Who's.
To finish off the show, let me bring up the right. Correct and no sounds.
So
let me just have a little check of this.
Oh. Yep, that'll be the one you'll be using.
Yep. Yeah, it will be. Okay, go for it.
I didn't hear the ting.
No, I know that'll be fine, mate.
Okay, fine.
Okay. I know I won't be using it much, so it's fine.
So how do you want me to attack this?
So like rounds. So place of birth, that kind of information, early doors. Yeah.
Do you want the town or just – no, I'm just going to give you the country.
No, give me the country, town, date of birth, height, weight.
Okay.
Is this home?
This is home.
Home, okay.
This is home. I'll give you all the home ones first. I've only got one away.
All right. How many home ones?
Well, I've got a few. I've got three for you.
Okay.
I've actually got four. Four. So five in total.
Oh, my God.
We'll go quick fire. Okay. Leiston, New Zealand.
Okay.
Okay.
Yeah.
178 centimetres, 94 kilograms.
Leiston. A current player.
42 years of age, not a current player.
Jeez. Leeson rings a bell. I don't know. Move on. Move on to next round.
Okay. What do you want? What's the next round?
So teams.
Okay. Do you want his school?
Yep. School and teams.
Christchurch Boys High School.
Oh, okay.
Canterbury.
Yeah.
Crusaders.
Christchurch Boys High, Canterbury Crusaders. Oh, it's going to be Mertz, I think. 42. Leiston, is that? It's either Christchurch Boys High, South. Where's Leiston? Is that down south?
Not a Scooby-Doo.
Where is Leiston? Can I look it up?
No.
It's either Justin Marshall. No, because they're older than me. They're older than me. So this person's younger than me. Okay. Yeah.
More teams.
Oh, Leiston is it Dan Carter?
Bing.
It's Dan Carter.
Yeah, that was the wrong button.
Oh yeah.
There you go. Well done.
So that's 2 points.
Yeah, Daniel Carter. Okay.
Okay. Yeah. Good.
Next one?
Yeah.
Okay, next one. Okay, now this one, you should. This. Okay, I'm not going to say anything. Okay. Papakura, New Zealand, 190 centimetres, 96 kilograms.
Date of birth.
He is 40 years old, not a current player. None of these are current players, by the way.
Okay, teams.
Teams, okay.
Papakura.
Counties, Manukau, Waikato, Chiefs.
40.
Yep.
40.
Do you want his
What's
position?
His weight and height again? What's his weight and height?
190 centimetres, 96 kilograms. Yeah.
So similar to me, really.
Yeah.
Position, yeah. Go position.
First 5'8". So first 5/centre.
First 5/centre. Chiefs. Oh, yeah. Beaver.
Oh. Yes, Beaver. You got him. What's his name?
Stephen Donald.
Yes, well done. Well done, my friend.
There you go, mate.
Okay.
Yeah. Nice. Let's do one more, and go
I'll
away.
I'll go away. I'll go away.
Okay.
Okay. New South Wales, Australia.
Yeah.
180 centimetres, 89 kilograms, yeah. And I'm 61.
What, you're 61 years old?
Yep.
Bloody hell.
Obviously not
61.
A
61. 61. So we're talking about coach, aren't we? We're going coach.
Potentially.
Yeah. Go through those that height again.
180 centimetres, 89 yeah. kilograms.
Okay, go playing position.
Wing fullback.
Oh, that's throwing me now. That's throwing me. I thought we were going Eddie Jones.
No.
I knew that if you'd have said hooker. Oh, right. Fullback or winger at 61, an Aussie, 61. So that would have been JK's thing. Now, did he play? I think this is my favourite, David Campese. I think he was that era wing fullback. I didn't realize, and his height and his weight, I'm going to say David Campese.
Boom. Done. Well done.
There you go. Geez, that was a tough one.
Yeah.
Daryl Tuffy there, mate.
Yeah, that was a Daryl. Hey, I thought Daryl you did really Tuffy. Well.
Mate, I was pleasantly surprised.
very, very well
my
done.
Recent performances, anything to do with rugby, has been absolutely average.
I agree.
Mate, what can people do to support us?
They can like, share, subscribe, 5-star review, email in, Patreon, link is below.
Patreon link is below. Yes, definitely. Anyway, it's going to be an interesting, exciting weekend of rugby ahead. As always, sir, love doing the potty with you. Until next week.
See you soon.
Podcast Network.